final hour on this Wednesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having or has had a good day to this point. Darren, Donnie, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Our weekly chat with Chris Mason, who now joins us. C-Mace, what's up?
How you doing, guys?
Great. How are you?
Good. Just heading out to the front step here to chat with you guys and get out of the chaos a little bit. Actually, it's not too bad today. It's a good day, so that was a little bit of an exaggeration. But looking forward to talking to you guys, as always.
Did you see where Jake Allen was shipped to Montreal from the Blues?
I did. I just saw that. It's a great move, I think, for Montreal. The Blues, you know, they have their guy in Binnington. I don't know, necessarily if the playoffs are any indication of, you know, what's to come with him. I think Binnington had kind of an up and down year this year, and I thought Jake Allen was really good, actually, throughout the whole season, and he was the better goalie in their playoffs when the season or the playoff resumes. So, I guess it's just a case of just getting a change of scenery, and then, you know, maybe they'll bring in young prospect or promote somebody within the organization. But good move for Montreal to get a guy like that, maybe take a little load off of Carey Price, and you know, barring any injury, you got a good dependable guy that can play some good stretches of hockey for you. So I think that's a good move for Montreal.
What do you make of the Islanders Flyers series? How do you think, one, what do you think of what you've seen to this point through five games in that series?
Well, it's crazy. It's, you know, it's like anything. I think there's the good and bad of both teams. I think with the Islanders, I think you see exactly what they're trying to do in terms of the style of play that they play. And you know, Philadelphia is a team that I don't know if you'd call anyone a favorite or an underdog in that kind of series. But you got to like how the Islanders have played to this point. But, I mean, Philly's just as capable of a team.
What do you make of when you see Hart, you see Carter Hart, what do you see from him? Obviously, a young guy who burst onto the scene. He's still extremely young. But he's he's in a big spot for Philadelphia. A lot's on his shoulders as a young man early on in his career. But when you watch him through your goalie eyes, what do you see?
Well, he is, beyond his years in maturity. It's unbelievable. There's very few guys, especially at that age for a goaltender. We just talk about Carey Price. He's maybe one of the only ones that I can think of that is at that level of the mental strength to be able to play at that level in the National Hockey League as a young goaltender and to be able to, it's not too big for him. It's not too big for those guys. There's hardly anyone that could do that. And this is they're put in a situation where it could literally crush them. It could crush a player to be in that situation as young as they are at the goaltender position, and it could just derail their career. Or you could be like Carter Hart or Carey Price that, relishes it, that's, able to process the emotions and the conjure the mental strength. And I know Carter Hart works with a sports psychologist, and I know he's in tune with that side of the game and really spent a lot of time in his younger years working on the mental part, as well as obviously he's one of the most skilled young goaltenders in the league. He looks much like Carey Price, and the fact that he knocked off his idol in their series was pretty cool and incredible. But he's the new version of that. So I just think that, he's another thing too, as you often see from young goaltenders, is once they have a bad game or they get lit up or whatever the situation, especially in playoffs, the next one's not good, or they go into a slump, or it's just, it goes off the rails. And that's why you need the older veteran guy to usually carry the mail. But he's a special goalie, and he's able to bounce back. And you just look at the kid. First of all, the talent level of his skills, but the mental strength that he possesses is really what makes him special.
Can you talk about how a system affects goaltending play? Like, for example, Varlamov, when he was in Colorado all those years, it was more about the play up front, the skilled players. They're about scoring a lot of goals. They've become a lot more defensive-minded with some of the defensemen they've acquired in trades and drafted, but obviously much more responsible on the defensive end in New York under Barry Trotz's system. Just talk about how different systems affect goaltending play.
Well, it's obviously the more defensive that you play as a team. If you look at Minnesota over the years, or you know, especially Barry's, the Islanders are, I think, are maybe his best work in terms of getting his team to buy in. Obviously, when he was in Washington, he was able to do that, but they had a lot of offensive weapons, so he had to give them a little more freedom. And the Islanders, they're playing exactly the way that you have to play for that team to win. For that team to win a Stanley Cup, that's how they have to play. And Barry Trotz is the perfect guy. And for a goaltender, it just makes your job so much easier because the game becomes more predictable. You see the patterns develop because it's the same things that happen over and over again, over and over again. There's not the breakdowns, the unpredictability that you would have in a more freewheeling type of system. You know, I think the Preds, you know, under Peter Laviolette, were very successful playing man-on-man. And then I think it kind of ran its course because that's a system where I think there's a lot of unpredictability because, you know, there's certain breakdowns and it could be a different guy on any given shift breaking down. So that situation is going to be new and it's going to be different the next game. And I think when you play that structured defense like the Islanders do, the game just becomes a bunch of continuous patterns and you're able to read it and you can see plays develop because your guys are predictable. When you play defense, and I also believe that you obviously have to have a level of offense because, you know, the Islanders have actually done a good job. They've scored a lot of goals in this, you know, playoffs if you want to average out their whole playoff this year, but they're predictable defensively and it gives them a chance to beat anybody. I just think if you play that style and you commit to it, you always have a chance to win. You obviously have to put some pucks in the net and they have some guys that can do that. But I just believe for a goaltender, it just makes the job just so much easier because it becomes more predictable.
A couple of quick notes. Matt Barzal, critical player, because he's the guy that has that creativity that can make it happen offensively for a defensive-minded team. And he's a guy that Barry Trotz has been given a lot of credit for to be able to play the defensive game to match his great offensive talent. Interesting story. This is, Mace, this is what happens in hockey, right? You don't give out any information on injuries, but because of the bubble situation, here's what happened. Barzal got hit in the eye in the game last night, inadvertent high stick by Claude Giroux. Missed the rest of the game. So he's on the elevator going back to his room, and who gets on the elevator but Alain Vigneault, the coach of the other team. And so they you know, they were right there. So they talked to each other, and Alain Vigneault shares today that, hey, I saw Matt Barzal. I'm glad to see he's going to be all right, and there's no concern. Barry Trotz was trying to do the coach thing and be very careful on how he chose his words on his availability for the next game. He's trending in the right direction. So apparently Alain Vigneault, the visiting or the other coach, shared more injury information than his coach.
Well, that's kind of funny. I think we're kind of getting used to the uncertainty and all these little quirky, different kind of things coming out of the way that they've handled the injuries. And that's one of them. I never even thought of that, to be honest with you. I forget that these guys, they're all staying in the hotel. And, you know, that's a possibility that they would cross paths because I'm assuming they'd be on similar schedules where there's only a certain amount of places that you can go. So, it's kind of interesting, and it's funny how you know, how some of these storylines, things like that, and there's been some other kind of funny kind of incidents that come out of it. But yeah, he's a player that, you know, we talked about Barry Trotz, and if they want to close it out, you know, that's the guy you need on. You wait for your opportunities. You play defense. You go back on transition. You wait for the opportunity, and they have those guys that can score that big goal. And obviously, Barzal is one of the, you know, they're most gifted, talented players on that team offensively. So he's a guy that, you know, hopefully Vigneault's right and he is okay. And Trotz is just playing gamesmanship. But they're going to need, they definitely need that type of player. Those are the guys that have been making, you know, the big differences and allowing them to play the style they play because they do get the goals when they get their opportunities.
What does it say about the Lightning that they could beat a team like the Bruins without Steven Stamkos the entire series? And they lose Nikita Kucherov in the first minutes of the second Well, I can't remember exactly when he went down in the last game, but they still find a way to beat the Bruins. They've got to feel very confident right now. I don't know when Stamkos could be back, might be back. I don't know if he is coming back, but, man, that is a deep, deep talented team.
Well, they are, and you knew they were. I mean, you look at last year, and obviously they got bounced in the first round, but they had probably one of the most dominating regular seasons, you know, in the history of the NHL. The last 2 months there, basically, they, you know, had the President's Trophy pretty much wrapped up. And then they lose to Columbus, and obviously that can happen. The league's, we all know, we talk about it all the time, how good the league is. And, you know, at the end of the season, you're not playing games in the line. But you can't really do that. Now you see this is a team that they might have got off to a little bit of a slow start in the first part of the playoffs or their play-in games that didn't really mean much. But once they get going, this is a deep team. This is, you know, you look back a couple of years when you're saying, who's the two of the deepest teams? Well, you went out east, and it's Boston, Tampa, and then you came out, and it was Nashville. It was one of the teams that was just a deep team in terms of if you look at all three defense pair, if you look at all – four lines, and now for them to be able to play at the level that they're playing, you know, Braden Point, the guy's just a maniac. He's just a stud. And those are guys, we obviously talk to Yanni Gord, all these guys, but you talk about Stamkos and Kucherov and the way that they're able to play without them, and they got one of the best goaltenders in the league. And then you got Hedman, and you got a buddy of mine actually who's playing unbelievable hockey. You got a second chance at his career, really, is Zach Bogosian, to make it a huge difference in these series. And you go up and down that lineup, and it's a nasty group of guys. So they can endure it, and you play a little different. When you lose your stars like that, you tend to lock it down a little more, and Vasilevsky's been awesome. But they just keep coming at you. They're fast. I mean, we've seen the waves that they're able to put on, and Nashville's actually played pretty good against them, but, you know, you watch them against other teams and what they did to Boston. That's scary. If the Islanders end up winning, that's going to be a very interesting matchup. To see that two styles contrast.
Oh boy, I can't wait. I'm hoping that happens. Mesa, let's go out west. Dallas has a decision to make. Rick Bowness, the coach of the Dallas Stars, would not reveal who his starting goalie would be tonight. For people that maybe haven't paid close attention, they've got a 3-2 lead against all the firepower of the Avalanche. Ben Bishop in a back-to-back. He hadn't played in a good while. He'd been hurt. They put him in. And he got lit up. He gave up 5 in the first. They took him out. Anton Khudobin has played better and played more during the playoffs. So who would you go with tonight, even, you know, knowing that Ben Bishop is really your starter, but he hasn't played a whole lot and Khudobin has played well? I'd have to go to Khudobin, but you tell me what you would do.
I'm going Khudobin 100%. It's not a tough decision at all. I thought, you know, it wasn't all Bishop's fault last game or whatever, but you can just tell he just doesn't look comfortable. Doesn't look, you know, Khudobin, if you want to go too against these two guys, he had an unbelievable regular season, and he played. It wasn't like he was a typical backup. I think he played 35, almost 40 games, so he almost played half the season, if I remember correctly. So it's not like he's a guy that you really don't know about or you have question marks about. He's had some really unbelievable moments in these playoffs already. So for me, I know Bishop. Let's say if all things being equal and both guys are healthy at the, you know, at the top peak of their game, that you're maybe going to choose Bishop just because of just that's the way it is. But for in this situation, 100%, you got to go Khudobin. If I'm the coach, I'm going Khudobin. I said the same thing about the St. Louis series. They went back to Binnington for the final deciding game. If they lose, they're finished. And they went with Binnington, and I think they should have went with Allen just because the eye test told me that, yeah, Allen lost the game before, but he was playing good. He was on a roll. You could just tell he was feeling it. Binnington, to me, didn't look sharp. He looked like he was second-guessing himself. He just, you know, he just had all those kind of energy surrounding him, and that's the way I feel about this decision too. I think that's how Bishop looks to me, and I think Khudobin looks good, and he looks like he's, you know, he's got his game in order. So that's my choice, 100%.
Chris Mason is with us, Predators analyst. And Chris, I have made two, I guess, bold predictions when it comes to the Colorado Avalanche. The first being, I dubbed them the 2020 Stanley Cup champions long ago, and I stand by that. And then I guaranteed earlier that they would win and force game seven.
You went Mark Messier on us.
I did. The guarantee, there is a pending bet between Darren and yours truly. So we'll see how that goes.
But tell him what's at stake, because Mace can appreciate good creative facial hair.
Oh, actually, yeah, he will appreciate this. So if I lose, I have to shave the beard into the handlebar mustache.
Wow, I love that. That is amazing. That's I think it's possible. I mean, the way that, you know, if they come out, and especially the way they started the game last game against Dallas, and basically, you know, said we're not going away quietly, and they made a big statement there. So now, you know, you talk about, let's say there's a goalie controversy in Dallas, and I guess they closed the gap a little bit as that game went on, but it was garbage time, as you know, we'd say in football. There wasn't much left, you know, in that game. So I would love to see the handlebar mustache if they lose. I just don't know. Is Hutchinson the guy? Like, I know they did a good job protecting him.
See, that's another question. That is a good question, too. Do you automatically go Francouz or do you go Hutchinson?
I know. Yeah, Francouz? I can't remember.
You know, they told us Francouz, but they've been saying Francouz. I don't.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we should call Dr. Seuss.
I like him. Yeah. Either way, we know who we're talking.
Turn your
about.
Mic off, Willie.
I don't know what we're gonna do there. Like that's a tough one, because I thought Hutchinson was okay. I didn't think, you know, I thought Colorado did a good job in front of him, as they would expect when you have a goaltending situation like that, and you're, you know, basically fighting to get back in the series or you're going home. So that's another, to me, that's the big controversy. If you want to say who you're going to choose, Hutchinson won, but Francouz or Francouz is a better goalie, in my opinion. Obviously he's their guy, but is he back? Is he ready to go? I don't know.
Obviously I watched last night, like all of us, Vegas and Vancouver. I think Vegas still wins the series. They're the better team. But Vancouver not going away. I mean, they're hanging around. It was a fun game. Have you been surprised of just how much they have hung around? You go back to the St. Louis series and this series against Vegas.
I'm not, because every time that the Preds play them this year, and we'll tell you too, they've been some just unbelievable games. It's just a hardworking team. I just really have a lot of praise for the job that Travis Green has done, with how quickly he's got his young core of players to buy in. And because that was a transition this team's gone through over the last 5 years and 3 years especially, and you have Pettersson coming in, and you got Bo Horvat, who's an up and coming leader, who I think, you know, early in his career wanted to be a top, you know, 1A centerman, but he's more of a 2, and he's a kind of a heart and soul type of player. He's one of those power forward guys. And, you get Quinn Hughes in the mix, and just to see him live, you hear a lot about him, but to actually see him live and the things that he can do. You have the emergence of Markstrom, who's really the last couple of years come into his own and established himself as one of the top guys in the league. And when you have that, you got a chance to win every night. So I'm not surprised, because they're just a scrappy, hard-working team, and I feel the job that Travis Green has done over the last 2 years, especially with this group, has been remarkable. And that's kind of what I saw every time we played them. I'm like, geez, this team just won't go away, or they're just a nightmare to play against, or, you know, Markstrom standing on his head when the Preds are out playing them, and they have no business being in a hockey game. So they feel like they have all the elements to be that team. So it doesn't surprise me, but I don't know if they're going to get by. I don't think they'll get by them, like you said. I just think Vegas is too good. But, I've been really impressed by Vancouver. And that's a team, you know, you look ahead to next year. This is a team that's going to be, you know, they're going to be up there. There's going to be they've got some players, and they got a bright future, depending on if they can get Markstrom. I think he's up. They can get him locked up.
Yep, no doubt about it. We will see who wins between Colorado and Dallas tonight. It should be interesting. See, Mace, thanks for the visit, as always, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay, thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. That is Chris Mason, every Wednesday at 1 o'clock on the program, as the German Shepherds are overtaking the room and getting wrapped up in my wires. Go away. Shoo. I don't know why you guys are in here. We'll come back. We need to figure out the other half of the bet. We'll do that on the other side. Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.